night or Wednesday night or Thursday night, someone who doesn't know the Lord. Do you have that individual already lined up? Some of you have some work to do this afternoon when classes are over. Let me urge you to do that. Thank you, especially all of those of you who went out Saturday. More than 150 of our students and faculty members blanketed this whole community. I think we got to just about every home in the community and shared Christ. There were at least three that I know of that came to know the Lord in the process of that, maybe more. Many other witnesses given, and a wonderful opportunity to interact with the community. We pray that many of those people be coming in for the services. Now, some of you young and strong students tonight, be alert, because we believe the building is probably going to be filled. We have quite a number of church people coming in from out in the community, and if you need to find a place to sort of get over against the wall and sit or something like that, well, please be alert to those opportunities. Would you do that? But by all means, let's see to it that we have folks here that need to hear the gospel at night, and I hope you're praying that God's going to do a great thing in our midst in these days. John Davis, you come and lead us, followed by Bart and Edith Neal, and then listen to Evangelist Bill Stafford as he comes this morning.
We're so glad you're here this morning. I would like for you to get out.
Oh, if I didn't know my Bible better, I'd been a charismatic. Amen. Listen, every person here today, that heart has been overwhelmed with the grace of God, can not help but relate anytime you hear that song. And you don't respond, it ceased to be amazing. And I pray in the name of Jesus that this week will be a time of personal revival for me. Whether you get in or not, that's up to you. You want to sit there, sit there. I'm getting in on it, and I want to meet with God and leave this campus changed into a new dimension of walking with God. And that's what I'm here for. If you're going to clap, clap. Don't fiddle around. I hate folks that just... Amen. If you can't beat that, just whistle, okay? Or something. Amen. I don't know. I'm nervous now. I was doing all right till Dr. Patterson said there's some surprises. I'm leery of him. He's got a streak of mischievousness. It don't show except at certain times, and I'm kind of nervous, Danny. You pray, will you? I was doing fine, but I hate surprises. I really do. You know, they're usually good, but I hate anticipating what they're going to be. Amen. Turn to 2 Timothy, if you will, chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I want you to know, Dr. Patterson, I'm honored to be on this campus and to preach in this place. In fact, I am overwhelmed. I don't know whether I'll preach or cry. I may just cry through the sermon. But I tell you, I never cease to be amazed at what God does in and through us whenever that He can control our lives. And after dealing with so many pastors around the world, in South Africa and Zimbabwe and in Poland and Hungary and Czechoslovakia and Romania and Bulgaria and Moldova and Ukraine, so many pastors around the world, the thing that I'm seeing today that's more needed than anything in the world is for us to get back to a total surrender of our lives and ministry to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Folks, you don't need freedom. I don't need freedom. I need to be mastered by the Lordship of Christ. And that's really all that really matters. 2 Timothy chapter 2. My wife, talking to her this morning, she said, "Now don't be preaching long sermons." I said, "Don't worry, Dr. Patterson will be behind me, and at 10 till, he'll be saying, that's it, and I don't want to be embarrassed, so I'm going to quit on time, but don't count on it tonight." Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Now that's a powerful responsibility. Whatever you've learned and whatever you've seen in me and whatever you've seen God do, You take that and commit to men, faithful men of God, teachers, people that walk with God. And I must say this, don't waste your time on people that are not totally committed to the gospel of Christ. Pour into those men who have a desire to walk with God and pour into them what you've learned. And of course, love the others also. But ladies and gentlemen, I hadn't got much more time. I've got to pour into those people that I know. When we bring preachers into Austria and into other foreign countries and to pour Jesus in them, we have people in those countries who look over the people that are really walking with God and got a hunger for Jesus, and we pour Jesus in them, then thrust them out and pray that the Holy Ghost will use them to touch those countries for God, reproducing in other preachers the revival message of forgiveness and godliness and spirit-filled living, walking with God, walking in warfare. That's the message that we need today. Find those people. And on this campus, I'm praying this week that every one of you will get so dedicated, so committed, so surrendered to the Lordship of Christ, we can charge North Carolina with Holy Ghost revival. And this state will be touched from the campus of Southeastern Seminary. That's the desire of my heart. Amen? Amen. I never do that, but what I don't remember, I was preaching one night, and a lady came up and said, "You said amen 88 times while you was preaching." I said, "Well, what did I say before that?" She said, "I don't remember." I said, "What did I say after that?" She said, "I don't remember." I said, "Lord, if I hadn't said that, you wouldn't have heard anything, would you?" And then I said, "When you're a Southern Baptist evangelist, you have to do it all." I have run down to front and hollered back at myself, "Hallelujah," and then preach a little longer just to get some help. Amen. Now, verse 3 and 4. Let me get to my text and get started here. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." I don't know of a time in my life when I have seen the ministry trying to be turned into a comfort zone instead of a combat zone. I have never seen the time whenever we're trying to make preaching pleasing to the world, even removing the offense of the cross. But ladies and gentlemen, old-time preaching, I mean preaching of the Word of God with the absoluteness of the infallible Word of God that it will stand, will always arouse the hatred of the world. If you're looking for something pleasing, then join the Lions Club or something else, but get out of the church. We're in war. We're coming against the powers of hell. And God has called people like you and me that we may stand up as salt and light and tell the world that the only hope that we have is in the sufficiency of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's four words in the text I want to use to maybe lift out what I believe the Apostle Paul is saying. Of course, what I like about this, Paul is in jail. In a few moments, his head is going to be severed from his shoulders. Nero is not playing games. He knows in a moment he'll be dead. Now, that doesn't sound to me like a comfort zone. Sounds to me like Paul has done got people stirred up. And it doesn't look like even the yuppie minister is going to help him. I mean, it looks like the yuppies are mad at him. I mean, he's going to die for one reason. On the road to Damascus, he had a head-on collision with the Lamb of God. And he never got over it. And through his life, he was so committed to the Lordship of Christ. Now, through his preaching, through standing for the Word of God, through his bold declaration of Jesus Christ as Lord and his sufficiency and finished work and glorious resurrection and powerful coming again, he's got the whole world mad at him, and Nero is going to kill him. And in a moment, he's going to die. It's going to be over, and he's in jail. And yet he says to Timothy, he doesn't say, "Timothy, I am so sorry. It looks like I've worked myself into a predicament. I'm real sorry that I took such a bold stand. I'm sorry I upset everybody. I wish I'd have preached an easier gospel. I wish I'd have gone down the middle of the road or done something. I really don't deserve this. No. His eyes are on the finished course, and he says, Timothy, get your eyes off of Nero and get them on the Lordship of Christ. Nero can only kill you, and that's a quick exit to the glory of God. So hang in there, son. And here's Paul in jail saying, Timothy, quit looking at your problems and look at the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ. Four words. First of all is the word warreth. The Bible said no man that warreth. It speaks of fight. It speaks of war. It speaks of fighting and conquering. It speaks of constant drill. It speaks of discipline. It speaks of death, maybe. It speaks of dying to your own life and living it to another. God help people that's got nothing to live for any bigger than themselves. You're sick. You need a revival. God didn't save you to live for yourself. He saved you to live for Jesus. You're not important. Jesus is. I'm not important. Jesus is. My importance is who's in me. And I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Jesus. Everything I am is because of Him. Everything I hope to be is because of Him. In fact, I don't know where I'd be without Him. Everything I preach and believe is wrapped around the fact that Jesus Christ is my life. Warreth. That's a bad word. We don't hear that much anymore. It means military exercises. It means hardships. It means training. One man wrote some of the facts about a Roman soldier, and he listed four or five. After all, I flew from Atlanta last night, and it took me longer to get from Atlanta to here than it would from here to overseas because of a problem on the plane. So if I'm a little stuttery this morning, don't worry, it'll get worse. He lists five things about a good soldier. Number one, he said, they are familiar and exercise good in stormy weather. It means in intense cold or in intense heat, it never changes their direction or their dedication. They are wonderful in stormy weather. They stay the same in stormy weather. The second thing he says, these soldiers knew hard labor. Hard labor. Boy, I want to tell you something, men. If you're looking for an easy way in the ministry, you're not going to find it if you're faithful to the Word of God. However, we don't need an easy road. We just need the road of freedom in the Holy Ghost, knowing that I'm pleasing the Lord who has called me. It's going to be warfare. Not only that, he said, they're simple. That don't mean they're stupid. Most people in the ministry are really simple people, but they're not stupid people. They're God's men called by the Holy Ghost. They're uncomplicated. They're not bound down. They have one goal, and that is they can't get over the call of God to preach the Word. You know, a lot of things I can't get over. One is getting saved, but the next thing I can't get over is getting called to preach. I mean, getting to be on campus at Southeastern Seminary, I could almost have a spell on general principles. But the people that God uses are uncomplicated. Hey, they're just people. They relate. They love. They've been there. They know warfare. They know people. They're down where people are. They're human, not mystical. Amen? And God knows we need some preachers who know how to relate to humanity. Not that we're down in worldliness, but we know how to relate through hurts and heartbreak and labor and struggles. Then not only that, they're used to discomfort. They're not used to comfort. They're used to discomfort. And I think that's one of the things I appreciate about young men and their wives who give it all up to go to school, seminary, to find what God wants them to be. And you give up a lot of things. You sell out. You gave up your house. You gave up your lifestyle. And you came here. And I want to tell you something. You're going to learn here on this campus more about walking with God in your faith life as you gave it all up to come here. This is going to be the basis and the foundation that will structure you the rest of your life. It was in the early days that I learned, if God be for you, who can be against you? And God will turn the hell upside down to meet my need and make the devil deliver the goods. Glory. Not only are they used to discomfort, but they know how to progress in fatigue. Have you ever been so tired you couldn't go any further? Studying, you felt like you couldn't study anymore. You felt like you had more than you could do, and yet you plugged on and you pushed on and you drove on. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, a man that's a good soldier is used to discomfort and he's used to fatigue. He knows how to tap into the strength of God. When he's out of his, God's got his strength. And he walks in the strength that amazes him, overwhelms him, because I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He's used to fatigue. You learn how to drive on when you feel like you just can't go any further, but you press on by the power and strength of God. So the first word is the word warreth, combat, fighting, warring, killing, conquering, constant drill, military exercise, hardship, discipline, death. It's all involved in that word. And this means this is the function of a soldier. The second word is the word entangleth. The Bible said he does not entangle himself with the affairs of this life. This refers to the flesh. It comes from the word which means to be trapped, to be caught, to walk through briars and get caught. It means to be so interwoven that you're trapped. You see, the one big battle you'll have in your life will not be with your wife. I used to think my wife was my problem. Come to find out she was merely my excuse. You see, well, don't look at me like that. If you're not married, hang on. You'll find out what it's all about. Somebody said, well, brother, I want you to know marriage is made in heaven. Yeah, but maintenance is done on earth, and there's a lot of it. Amen. When you got her, you could have eaten her afterwards. Wish you had. You know how all that goes. My wife and I never had a cross word, but you could hear us reasoning four blocks. If I'd have known marriage like I know it now, we'd have sung "The Fight Is On" at my wedding. And don't sit there and look so holy. I just tell the truth. The rest of you lying about it. Amen. And don't look like you got seniority. I've been married to the same woman 43 years. Hallelujah. You said you never considered a divorce? No, murder several times, but never divorce. Greatest woman that ever lived. And I didn't learn that through just a few years of feelings and emotions. I've learned it by choices and surrender and brokenness and saying I'm sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, the problem we've got today is the flesh wants to entrap you to where what you do is so soulish, you will think it's of God and sell short of the glory of God. We've had preachers fall that we thought God was on. We saw preachers preach, Brother Dr. Patterson, that we thought the glory of God was on them. And brother, what was it? We saw soulish preaching that could move people in the flesh. But let me remind you, God will never energize flesh. If you're going to be a preacher that's got to have certain results and you'll do anything to get them, you'll never be the man of God that God wants you to be. God, help us in this hour when we are soulishly bowing to fleshly means. We don't need it, folks. Just let God show up. Hallelujah. Let God show up. There'll be more happen in 5 minutes than you can program in eternity. Amen. Give us... Don't get entangled with the means. Get entangled with Him. Stay full of Jesus. Don't let the flesh trap you. Don't get entangled. Don't let it get you so interwoven that you're consumed with this life. I think that's what's getting me today. We don't hear anything about heaven anymore. I don't think anybody wants to go. I think they're having such a good, relevant time here. Well, I want you to know, I pastored one church 12 years, and there's a few times I wanted to go. Amen. If it wasn't a heaven, I'd quit the ministry. Amen. But we're living in a time when so many preachers are getting entangled and so many Christians have got interwoven and bogged down in civilian living that they've forgotten it's not your life, it's His life. When I got saved, I didn't get help, I got Him. When I got saved, I didn't get relief, I got regenerated. When I met Jesus Christ, I received a person and I exchanged life. I don't live my life, I live His life. Now I lapse back to my life, and when I do, I backslide. I get independent, I get hateful, I get critical. But ladies and gentlemen, God didn't call you to live your life. We've had enough of that in the world. He called you, surrender to Him, and let Him be and live Himself through you. You see, the world is sick of Staffords. But don't look at me like that, they're sick of you too. Well, Baptists are the only people I know that can strut sitting down. You see, what you want to find in the ministry is a level of preaching to where that you won't have to wake up on Monday morning with a fresh surrender and a fresh brokenness and fresh tears. Really wanting to hang it up and resign. And always remember, don't ever resign on Sunday. Always do it on Monday to your wife. I've resigned 50,000 times. In fact, I've quit the ministry so many times, it's a wonder I'm still in it. I threw the towel in so many times and said, God, You didn't tell me this was on the agenda. Because when He called me to preach, He didn't tell me I was going to meet some Baptists that were mean as the devil. I've never had a prostitute or a drunk or a harlot or a dope addict to want to kill me, but I've had some Baptists to want to. You don't believe that? I'll tell you about it before the week's over. I hadn't got time this morning. Got news for you folks. When you receive a letter and says, I hope I see the day that I can see you dead. Didn't even know me, just hated me because of reputation. But I'll tell some more of that later. I ain't got time today. But listen, I'm like D.L. Moody. I've received a lot of letters that folks wouldn't sign. But Moody was on the platform in England, and somebody wrote him a letter and just had fool right across the paper. Moody got up to preach, and he said, I've had a lot of people to write letters and not sign them. But this fella signed the letter and didn't write it. Listen to me, men and women of God, no time to let up, no time to be distracted, no time to deviate left or right. Get right on line with the captain of our salvation. Keep renewing your call to God. Remember, you're not in the ministry because God needed you. You're in it because He called you. And don't ever think that you're doing God a favor by being in the ministry. You're in it because God divinely called you by the power of God, and all hell can't reverse that call. I want you to know I've been preaching 41 years, and I have never enjoyed the freshness and the glory and the power and the sweetness and the commitment of a holy God to my life as I do now. Woo, excuse me. I'm about to have that spell. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, don't get entangled, interwoven, deviated, distracted. Keep on target with the Lamb of God. Entangleth flesh. Don't minister in the flesh. You minister after having been in the presence of a holy God. Thirdly, the word fears. It's a word, I'm sorry, the word affairs. Affairs. It comes from the word which literally means fears. Preoccupation with normal living. You see, soldiers have the future in their life that they could lose their lives. Well, we've gotten away from what preaching really is. And you know, Paul's not preaching poverty, but he's preaching keep things out of your heart that will keep you from walking with God. Don't let any darling root in your heart that would cause you to miss the Lamb of God. Keep occupied with Jesus. Keep your eyes on Him. You remember when Abraham, God said to Abraham, I want you to take Isaac, your beloved, darling son, Genesis 22, and I want you to take him to the mount yonder that I'm going to show you. And here's the word he uses. And he said to Isaac, Isaac, we're going up yonder and we're going to worship. Worship. And then we're going to come back again. The word there, the son of your love, the darling of your heart. What's God doing? Is he hurting Abraham? Is God a bully? Is God mad at us? No. He's just trying to make sure that Isaac doesn't become the darling that makes him lose his vision and capacity and surrender to the Lordship of Christ. And you listen to me and you hear me. If you're ever used mightily of God, men or women, in the capacity God's put you, God will interrupt you. He'll invade you. He'll interfere with you. Don't feel sorry for the preachers and the people that God's bothering. Feel sorry for the preachers. He never does. Because the only people that God ignore are those that he's through with. He's going through a trial. Look at what he's walking through. His church is having storms. He's going through conflict, and we say, isn't that terrible? Wait, wait, wait. God's doing something, and if that man reacts godly, looks at it from God's viewpoint, and allows that adversity to become a stepping stone to meeting with God, God's going to raise up a man that he can trust in combat and warfare, and all hell will never stop him. You don't learn the exercise and the practicality of the ministry from books. Amen? You learn it when you're out there and have to appropriate what these godly men and women have taught you on this campus. You don't turn reality, truth into reality by reading books. You turn it into reality when what they've taught you and you've read, God makes you live it out. And we got a bunch of preachers who built an escape ministry. Every time they have a problem in the church, they hunt another church. Every time I go to the convention, I know I'm going to get 15 men walk up and say, hey, you know a church out of a preacher? Pays $90,000 a year, got a 5-bedroom pastorium and furnishes them a car, pays Social Security and hospitalization. And I said, no, if I did, I'd take it. I ain't gonna recommend you. Quit hunting. Find out where God wants you. Find out where God's put you. And you that's here that's laboring maybe on campus, you stay here till God's through with you. Don't you walk away from here because of troubles or difficulties or adversity. You stay here till God's through with you on this campus. And then go out of here and let him take what you've learned and turn it into practical reality. And he'll do it through storms, enemies, even bad deacons. Why? They're not really bad. They're just people trying to make you grow up and develop for the glory of God. You say, most problem you'll have is self-preservation. Taking care of myself. Live for myself. Take care of my family. That's not my first priority. My first priority is to make sure that I have given myself away to the Lamb of God. You see, this old life is sort of like an octopus. It'll suck the life out of you. Flesh will dominate you. Flesh will defeat you. But the faith that overcomes fear is the faith of a Gideon whom God walks down and says, O thou mighty man of valor. Boy, I love that. Here he is, a coward, hiding, helping the people, but scared to death. And God walks down and said, thou mighty man of valor. Well, he's not. He's a coward. But you see, God's got bifocals. God don't see Gideon for where he is. He sees him for what he's going to be when he gets through with him. Hello? Did you get it? Hey, God, well, take Simon Peter. He said to Simon Peter, Simon, you're Simon, but you're going to be called Peter. That's bifocals. What does he mean? Oh, you're Simon now, and I'm going to walk you through a lot of trials, and you're going to keep acting like Simon, but before I'm through with you, you're going to be Peter on the day of Pentecost and shake a world for God. If you're afraid of the process, then get out. Get out. We got enough hobos and hitchhikers now. We need some Holy Ghost men bogged into the glory of God, so called they can't back out and saying, I'm going hell or high water. I'm committed to Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, Gideon, what a man. Last, and I've got to quit. Not only do we see the word warreth, which means the function of a soldier, the word affairs, which means the flesh that entangles, and then the word affairs that means fears that he'll face, and there's all kind of fears. I've faced them so many times, sometimes shocked. But then lastly, the word finish. Look at this. The word here, look at it. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life that he may please. What a word. May please him who hath chosen him. And the word means to be virtuous, to be delightful to the one that's called you, to be fit, to be perfect in God's sight. And by the way, that don't mean perfect in the sight of the world. It means that when God sees a man pursuing his heart and he finishes his course, as far as God's concerned, that's pleasing. And I don't care how many failures he's had, God still loves him for staying by the course. Watch this. The word means something so trained it is a pleasure to watch. And what I thought of, in fact, whenever I was studying this text, I was in Shelbyville, Tennessee, where they have the Tennessee Walking Horses. So they took me to see the Tennessee Walking Horses. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I have never seen such beautiful horses in my life. I mean, they're just horses, but these were the kind that you love to watch. They're beautiful. They're perfect. They're fit. They're delightful. And I sat there and watched as the trainer took those horses and they pranced with such perfect steps. I sat there and I said, I can't believe this. They were beautiful. Tennessee walking horses. And to watch them take those steps with such trained, disciplined lifestyle. Somebody had conquered and taken them over and made them something that they had no ability to be apart from somebody who controlled them. But I'm sure as I sat there and was pleased and delighted, don't you know the one that trained them and the one that chose them out to be that horse to prance and to show. People in the grandstands watching, and the oohs and the ahs and the amazement. Do you know what this word means? It means the commanding general has enlisted us and wants us to be his soldiers. Fit, virtuous, delightful, committed, surrendered, disciplined, living a life that we can't live, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And people walk by and say, I don't believe that man could ever have been a preacher or a man of God were it not for the power of the Holy Ghost. Now look at this. It means that the commanding officer will provide all that I need for the battle. He is my resource. It's not my battle, it's his battle. He'll move me out of the combat zone and he'll move me into the comfort zone, the combat zone. That means I've got to fall in line. I've got to get in rank and march and orderly fashion, and I've got to step as others step. I must never step out of line. I must stay in step with the commanding officer. What does that mean? And then when I come down to my last days, and I've been 41 years of it now, and the further I go, the thing that I desire more than anything in the world is to come down to the end of my journey, finish my course full of God, and hear Jesus say, pleased, pleased, pleased. I'm going to tell you something, fellas. I'm going to tell you something, ladies. Don't you come short of finishing the course. And the reason why I preach like I do today, many of you just beginning, the battles are going to be horrible at times. You're going to think nobody really loves you. But I got news for you. The only love that you really need to keep you going is the love of a holy God who sought you and called you, and don't you ever forget it. And when somebody says, I don't like you, just look at them and say, well, tell it to God. I don't even like myself. A lady came up one night and said, Brother Bill, I just don't know how in the world you got on this program because you're not a typical preacher. I said, lady, would you tell God, when he called me to preach, I said, Jesus, I don't want to. I said, look at me. I'm ugly. I'm frail. I just weighed 128 pounds. I don't have anything going for me. Preachers are usually fat and bald-headed. And I said, and of course, God got half of that fixed, you know. But here's what I said. That morning, I walked down the aisle of a country church and fell across a mourner's bench and said, Jesus, I don't know what this is all about. And I was 19 years old. I don't know what this is all about. But take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. And ladies and gentlemen, there wasn't one person in that building that thought I would make it in the ministry. But who needs their approval? Whenever morning you wake up with God's approval. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Father, would you touch lives in this place today? And may we never be the same. May we never be the same after this campus revival. In Jesus' name, amen.
In the back of your hymn book, you'll find the little chorus, My Eyes Are Dry. Would you stand with us, please, all over the auditorium? We'll sing this. It'll be our benediction as we go out to share our faith.